Luke chapter 8, and this same story is given in Matthew chapter 9 that we just read a moment ago, but we have a little more detail that's given unto us. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 48, Luke 8, 48. The Lord said to her, daughter, he called her his child. You're my child, daughter. He didn't say woman here. He said, daughter, daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. Thy faith, where'd she get that faith? Faith is a gift of God. Thy faith hath made thee complete, whole. Now, go in peace. You go in peace because you've been made whole. You've been made whole. So I'm taking the title for the message from that verse. Thy faith made thee whole. Think about this, and you might want to put a note here somewhere, underscore that word faith. You know what word you can substitute for faith? Christ. Christ made thee whole. Isn't that so? Christ made thee whole. You see, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. In him. Christ is all and in all. Now, faith, we know, is a precious gift of God. True saving faith. The faith of God's elect. But faith, now listen to me, faith is never the cause of salvation. Now think about it. Faith is never the cause of salvation, but it's always the evidence of salvation that has been received by faith. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he's born of God. The reason he believes is because he's been raised from the dead. We know in Hebrews 11, we're going to study this in a few weeks, and we get over there to chapter 11, where it says in verse 6, without faith, impossible to please God. Why is it impossible to please God without faith? Without faith, we don't have Christ. So we can read that verse, without Christ, it is impossible to please God. You see how important faith, that's a gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. And what a precious gift, it's a perfect gift that God gives us. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. I don't have perfect faith, but I have a perfect gift. We know in part, we see in part. But my faith always looks unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon Peter writes this. A servant and apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ. We have faith only based upon the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He purchased and bought faith for us. Faith is the Lord's sovereign gift. He gives that precious gift to whom he will. Everybody doesn't have faith. Not saving faith. Saving faith, the faith of God's elect, is a sovereign gift of God. He gives it to whom he will. He says, I will have mercy on whom I will. I will be gracious to whom I will. By this faith of God's elect, we enjoy the precious promises of God. To you who believe, Christ is precious. That's how we enjoy Christ, is by faith, by believing him, trusting him, coming to him. Now, this story that we read here about this woman who had this terrible disease, and she was bleeding to death, and she had this terrible disease for 12 years, and this story is recorded, as we read in Matthew 9, and then again in Mark chapter 5, and then again in Luke chapter 8. It gives us this story of this woman who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 40, and it came to pass. Whenever we read that phrase in Scripture, and it's given to us in Scripture, it came to pass, it's given to us in Scripture over 400 times. It came to pass. Now, we know why it comes to pass, don't we? He brings it to pass. He brings it to pass. And it came to pass when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at the Lord's feet. Matthew says that he worshipped him and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. She was on her deathbed. And as we read the story, as he headed back to his house, some servant came and told him, "Indeed, your daughter had died." Sad, sad day for this man. But intertwined in this story here, as the Lord is going to the house of Jairus, this woman interrupts him on his way. Now, he was on an important business, right? This little girl was dying. I mean, it was a good thing that he would come quickly and heal her before she died. But the Lord delayed. He delayed on purpose. Just as he did when Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus was sick and dying, and he delayed 4 days until he died, and then he went and raised him from the dead. This woman interrupts this travel. The woman, verse 43, having an issue of blood, 12 years, which has spent all her living, she did everything she could to cure this disease. Upon every physician she could find, and was not healed. Neither could be healed of any doctor. She came behind him in this crowd, and she said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." And immediately, her blood issue stopped. And the Lord said, verse 45, "Who touched me?" All denied. And Peter said, "Well, Lord, there was a multitude here that thronged thee, pressing upon you, and you ask who touched you?" And he said, "Somebody did. Somebody did in a unique, special way, for I perceived that virtue was gone out of me." So here we see two people in desperate need. This father had a dying daughter, and he sought mercy in the Lord. That's a good thing to do. When we need mercy, seek mercy where it's found. And this woman that was slowly bleeding to death, she had a great need, didn't she? She came to the Lord who could heal her, and she knew it. She knew it. She had the issue of blood. Her name is not given, but the Lord knows his sheep by name, calls them out. And he calls them by their name. I like what he says in verse 46. Somebody. He called her somebody. Not a nobody. Somebody. He's known this lady, this woman from all eternity. Her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Before the foundation of the world, the Lord knows all of his sheep. He knows all his people, and he knows them by name. The foundation of God standeth sure, having his seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. All this was providentially arranged. This woman getting sick, meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, and in mercy he healed her. All by God's purpose, wasn't it? You see, her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, just like everyone whom the Lord saves. He saves them because he chose them in that covenant of grace. When the Lord was pressed about in this crowd of people, there came this poor diseased woman who was slowly bleeding to death, and she had this terrible disease for 12 years, who heard the Lord had healed others. She elbows her way through this crowd, using what little strength she has left, and reaches out with the hand of faith and touches the Lord's garment, and immediately she's made whole. We used to sing a chorus, remember? Reach out and touch the Lord. Do you remember that chorus? Reach out and touch the Lord as he's passing by. You'll find him not too busy to hear your heart's cry. So reach out and touch the Lord as he's passing by. Reach out and touch the Lord. Oh, for faith to do that. Now, what can we learn here from this story? I tell you, the main lesson here is how God saves sinners. How God saves sinners. Remember, we studied over in Matthew chapter 9, those who are well don't need a physician, but those who are sick, go learn what that means. I will have mercy, not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners do repentance. If I can find a sinner, I can tell him how God saves sinners. He came for that purpose, didn't he? Came to seek and to save the lost. Now, I have 4 points to this message, and let me give them to you, then we'll go back and look at them. First thing we want to learn is this. The curse of sin. Why was this woman sick? Why was she sick? It's the curse of sin. Secondly, the cure by Christ. He is the Almighty Lord to save, right? He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. And then we learn, thirdly, the confession of her faith. She didn't say, well, you know, I made myself whole. She would never say that, would she? She said, Lord, you made me whole. And then we see the Lord's commendation, go in peace. Thy faith made thee whole. So let's look at the first problem, the dreadful, awful curse of sin. Have you looked in the mirror lately? What's going on? I'm getting old. Why do you get old? Why all these wrinkles? Why are my teeth falling out? Why does my back hurt? Why all this disease and sickness and all this is going on in this body? S-I-N. Sin. Sin. In Adam, all sinned. In Adam, all died. Why was this woman suffering from such an incurable disease? Because she was a sinner. Her body was full of sin. She had been to many physicians that could not help her. No one could heal her. That is, it's not that they would not, but they could not. They had no ability. They didn't know what to do. You ever been to a doctor sometimes when they'll tell you, say, well, man, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. She spent all that she had and grew rather worse. It says in Mark chapter 5, I believe it is, a certain woman had an issue of blood, suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Spent all her living, spent everything she had, all of her energy, all of her money. Couldn't help. There's no greater evidence of our sinful state, our sinful fallen state and condition, than that of sickness and death. Sickness and death. We see it all around us, don't we? The wages of sin is death. When sin is finished with this body, what does it bring? You know what it brings? Death. How many cemeteries did you drive by this morning? A lot of them. Cemeteries all over. Why do we have cemeteries? Death. What's the cause of death? S-I-N. Sin. When sin is finished with this flesh, it brings death. Remember what God told Adam? Out of the dust you were formed. Out of the dust you shall go back to the dust. If men were not sinners, and I include women too, if people were not sinners, we would never get sick. We would never die. Some in religious circles, some say, you ever heard someone say this? I'm used to be a sinner, but but now I'm living above sin. If that were the case, cancel every doctor appointment, cancel your health insurance, cancel your life insurance, because you're never going to die. You're going to die. This flesh is going back to the dust. You can paint it, pump it, prop it, but it's going back to the dust. Dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. To say that we're not a sinner is to confess that you have no need of a Savior. If you say you're not a sinner, we don't need a Savior. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I'm going to confess, Lord, You know all things. You know I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Now, let me give you this. I know that we have this terrible epidemic of drug overdoses. And it's a terrible thing. And I weep with those who have lost loved ones who have overdosed on drugs, and my heart breaks for them. But drugs are not the root of the problem. Drugs have not ruined people. People have ruined drugs. They've ruined the drugs. Drugs are good things the Lord has given to us to help us cope with this vile flesh, to cope with this terminal disease. Don't tell anybody, but I take drugs every day. Don't tell anybody that. I take my blood pressure medicine, my cholesterol medicine, and all the other medicine every day, just to kind of cope with this flesh. But these things that God has given us, doctors prescribe drugs every day. Thomas, your son, prescribed drugs to his patients every day. When my wife went to your son for her eyes, he prescribed her a drug, and she takes it as prescribed. Why do people, when doctors give drugs, there's a warning, take as prescribed, right? Why do people abuse drugs? Because we are most sinful. We have to be told to take as prescribed. And when people don't take as prescribed by the doctor, we get in trouble. But the problem is we're sinners. It's not the drug. You see, sin, I told you over the years, sin's not in a box or a bottle. Sin's not in a box. It's not in a bottle. It is the wicked, sinful nature of our diseased heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If people would not abuse these things if they were not sinners. So the drugs are not the problem. Sin is the problem. It's just like, and I give this other illustration, they want to outlaw guns, don't they? They want to outlaw all the guns. They think if they take the guns away, there'll be no more murders. Cain rose up and murdered Abel. Did he have a gun? No, he used a club or a rock or something. What was wrong with Cain? He had murder in his heart. You can ban all the guns you want to. People still have murder in their heart. And they'll kill one way or the other. With a knife, a club, a rock, or something. You see, guns are not the problem. It's the fool that pulls the trigger. That's the problem. That's the problem. This poor woman tried every physician in town to find a cure, spent all she had, and was worse and still suffered. She knew she had a problem because she was hemorrhaging blood. She's hemorrhaging blood every day. She had a dreadful, dreadful disease. Couldn't find any cure. And people in religion today, I'm talking about false religion, try the same approach with their sin problem with the same results. Nothing better, but rather grew worse. They go to every religious doctor in town. They go to Dr. Begood. You heard of him? Dr. Morality. Or they try Dr. Decision. He says, make a decision. Or they try Dr. Free Will. Or Dr. Ceremony. Or Dr. Baptism. Or Dr. Right Church. Dr. Feel Good. Dr. Excitement. Dr. Emotion. But with the same results. No atonement for sin. Now I'm making fun. I'm making fun on purpose. False religion needs to be made fun of. Isn't that what Elijah did on Mount Carmel? When he mocked those false prophets of Baal. Won't you cry a little bit louder? Maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he doesn't hear you. You see, they don't have an atonement for sin. They don't have the cure for the problem. No righteousness imputed. No salvation given freely in Christ. They only grow worse. Religion without Christ is a fatal thing. You remember what Job said of his three friends? You are forgers of lies and physicians of no value. No value. Religion without the Lord Jesus Christ will not profit you one thing or give you one advantage. It will only make your case worse because it will cause you to hide in a refuge of lies instead of the truth. You see, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. No wonder Paul said, I count everything lost, dung, and ruin, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Now here's point number two. What was the cure for this lady? She's dying. She knew it. She was desperate. What was the cure? Christ was the cure, and she knew it. Christ himself is the cure. His power and his virtue went out of him. Look at verse 45. And the Lord said, who touched me? When all denied, oh, I didn't. Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude's thronging you and pressing up against you. People were bumping into him and hitting him this way and that way. And you say, well, who touched you? And the Lord said, somebody did. Somebody touched me like nobody else touched me. Somebody had touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out of me right into this woman. What's the remedy for ruin? Christ. The wage of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Most preaching that we are hearing in our day today, in the last really couple hundred years, most preaching that goes on in most places today and other churches where the gospel of grace is denied, they put the whole emphasis upon what the sinner must do in order to be saved instead of what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done for us. Remember what the Lord told that wild Gadarene? Look at verse 39 in Luke 8. When the Lord healed that wild man, he said, return to thine own house and show how great thing God had done for thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great thing Jesus had done unto him. So what do we tell? We tell out what he has done for us, not what we must do for him. Not what we must do for him. You see, salvation is done in Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about what Christ has done for us, not what we have done for him. Paul writes about it and said that he was a servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What does that word Scriptures mean? Writings of God. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. All power is in Christ. So the gospel is not about you. It's all about him. What he has done for us. Not what we must do for him. He's performed all things for us. Now, a couple things on this point. The work of the Lord's sovereign providence. This was no chance meeting, but was ordered of God from all eternity. The Lord crosses our path with the gospel and saves sinners by his grace and grace alone. The second thing we learn here, the hearing of the word of the Lord. It says in Mark chapter 5, verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, she came to him. When she heard, she came to him. What did she hear? She heard that he had healed others. Remember we read that he healed all them that had need of healing? Look right across the page in Luke 9, verse 11. The people, when they knew it, followed him. He received them, and he spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. You have a need? Bring it to Christ. come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a hearing of faith. She came to Christ when she heard of him. You cannot believe in someone you have never heard of. There must be the preaching of the gospel and the hearing of the gospel. Both operations come by the sovereign will of God. The Lord has ordained the means whereby he is pleased to call out his people. We call upon the Lord because we've heard of him, and he makes himself known unto us by the preaching of the word, by the preaching of the gospel. It pleased God through preaching to call out his people. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. She heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy. The third thing we see, the mighty work of the sovereign almighty God. Although the word grace is not written in the text, the truth of grace is written all over this story. Power and virtue went out of him. It was eternal grace that chose her in that eternal covenant. It was the gift of God's grace that caused her to seek mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the power of God's grace that made her whole. Right? Amen. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Now, the third thing is this, this woman's confession. What was her confession? What was her confession? Look at verse 47. When the Lord said, somebody touched me, I perceived that power has gone out of me. When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him, and she declared unto him and all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was made whole. And how she was healed right now. God saves sinners instantaneously. When he says, sinner, live, we live by his power, by his grace. The woman's confession. The Lord stopped and asked, said, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me with a heart and with the hand of faith. This poor woman reached out and touched the Lord. The all-knowing Lord knew exactly who touched him in a special, special way, reached out with the hand of faith. But he does not let this woman go away unnoticed, but rather draws her closer to him that she might confess what had taken place and how she was made whole. She comes to him and confesses all that the Lord had done. She was not ashamed to own him. And she was not ashamed to say what had taken place, how she was healed immediately. True saving faith is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. As Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. When the Lord is pleased to reveal himself unto us and give us faith in Christ, he causes us to boldly confess that our salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. Of the Lord. Now, if you want to turn with me, you can. But if not, I'll read it to you. But in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 verse 9, Romans 10 verse 9, I'll give you a minute to turn there if you want to. Romans 10 verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus to be Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, this is from Isaiah 28, verse 16, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. That's how we confess with the mouth, He saved us. We were all dying with the deadly disease of sin, and He healed us. With His stripes we are healed. We were lost, sheep going astray, and He found us. We were blind, and He gave us eyes of faith to believe Him, to see Him. How do believers confess the Lord Jesus Christ has done a work of grace in our heart today? Two things given to us in the Word of God. Believers confess the Lord Jesus Christ in believers' baptism. That's the ordinance of the Lord. We're baptized because we have been saved. We're not baptized to be saved. Baptism is a confession, public confession, that Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection is all our salvation. That's how we confess Him in believers' baptism. And then by identifying with the Lord's people, where the gospel of God's sovereign saving grace is preached. So we confess Him publicly, and then we join with the Lord's people where the gospel is preached. Lastly, the Lord's commendation and pronouncement of peace to her. Look at verse 48. And He said to her, daughter, you're my child. I own you. You're mine. Daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. We have peace through believing. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this scripture, Romans 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound through hope through the power of God the Holy Spirit. He calls her His child by His electing choice, by His electing love, by His purchase. He bought her with His own blood. And then He says of her, be of good cheer, be of good comfort. Remember our study in Matthew 9 when those four friends brought their paralyzed friend to the Lord. And the Lord, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. And that's what He's saying here to this woman. Thy sins are forgiven. Daughter, be of good comfort. You can only be of good comfort if your sins are forgiven. If you're justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy faith made thee whole. Again, saving faith looks to Christ, the object of saving faith. Be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. You see, Christ is all our comfort. Christ is all our comfort. He's a God of peace. He's a God of all grace. He's a God of all grace. I'm looking at this scripture. Peter, when he closes 1 Peter in chapter 5, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But He's a God of all grace. He's a God of peace. He's a God of all comfort. Salvation is Him, in Him. Thy faith made thee whole. Nothing gives more glory to Christ than God-given faith. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ, being fully persuaded that all that God promised, He's able to perform. Again, I repeat on purpose, faith is not the cause of salvation. Faith is not the cause of salvation. Faith does not accomplish or produce salvation. But the faith of God's elect receives the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our salvation, who accomplished salvation for us. You see the difference? Faith receives Him who accomplished our salvation. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in Christ. The believer's life is a life of faith. We begin in faith when He gives us life in Christ. We walk in faith. The just shall live by faith. We see the glory of God by faith, and every believer will die in faith. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. We die in faith. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to give us, every one of us, this precious gift of faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our salvation. The author and finisher of our faith. He says in Isaiah 45, look unto me. Look to Christ and be saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other.